talk footy now with the man, Patrick Dangerfield, brought to you by Balfour's Bakery, available at your local deli or supermarket. Balfour's baking people happy since 1853. Paddy, how are you, mate?
Morning, guys. Very good.
What's going on with the hair there, Pat?
Well, the whole kit, actually, this morning, Pembo, it's really disappointing. I was saying to Jane before, she didn't really comment all too positively on my attire when I walked in.
Actually, Patty, something's happened to your hair. I should just give you my mirror.
He's got hat hair.
I can't wear the beanie under the headphones, so I had to take it off.
Well, so clearly you've had a shower and you got a bit of product.
There's no shower this morning. It's just straight to massage after this.
And will they be massaging your hair as well?
It's probably a good idea.
I know radio is not a visual medium. You can watch this on video on Periscope, but the beanie's come off and the hair's gone everywhere. Pat, moving right along. Now, last week, after the Swans game, we asked you what the hell happened. Can we ask you the same question about the Richmond game? Well, unbelievable.
You probably can't, Pembo, because you went there and you weren't watching, but Ace, Doe and Jane probably can.
Oh, yeah. Jane loved wouldn't it. Have been, yeah. Well, I'm a completely committed Crow.
That Eddie Betts mark was amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was a really impressive game. It's probably one of the better four-quarter efforts that we've had all season, probably up with that first game against North Melbourne. So it wasn't the complete performance because we didn't exactly kick straight at goal, but that's the sort of effort and intensity that we need to bring every week for the remainder of the season.
With the kicking, and not dwelling on the negatives, because as Damien Hardwick said after the game, it did feel like a 100-point loss because we controlled the game so comprehensively, but it wasn't a 100-point loss. And one of the reasons we're out of the eight on percentage is because of the wayward kicking. How do you fix that?
Well, you never go into a game thinking, you know, let's boost our percentage because of whoever we're playing. You know, poor kicking is poor football, I suppose. And sometimes you can play really good footy, but lose games because you haven't put the opposition away when you should have, and you give them a sniff. And you know, at the start of the fourth quarter, Richmond were still very much in the game, so we need to make sure that we do that better going forward. But I suppose it's just that execution under fatigue and under pressure that we need to improve it.
Not singling any blokes out, but watching...
Tex.
Well, all right, Tex. two goals, five, wasn't it?
No, but I tell you what, his game was phenomenal. Obviously.
Oh, yeah,
he
it was.
Kicked the way that he would have liked, but...
But I was going to say, like, he's a good example, though, of someone who, at the moment, and there's other guys who have been doing it too, you'd almost put your house on them kicking from 40 or 45, but if they're 25 out, they just seem to be sort of chipping the ball, not kicking all the way through it.
It's a really interesting one because he is such a beautiful kick of the footy. Like, he is literally one of the best kicks in the competition. Such a beautiful action. So I think I'll just put it down to a bad night for the big fella because, gone are the days where full forwards just spent their time in the forward 50 in the square. Tex works up and back to half back. Back to half forward, and you know his work rate from all, not only him, sorry, but all our forwards is enormous. So they are trying to execute under fatigue, but certainly, you know, there's some areas that we can improve on goal kicking.
Because you've been practicing at training, you've been practicing kicking goals under pressure, haven't you?
Yeah, it's something that we continue to work at, regardless of whether we're kicking well on the weekend or not. So it's always something that we can improve, and most teams are the same.
So Essendon this weekend. They're hard to read, aren't they? They've seemed to be in most games at half time and then they've faded, but they've got to win one eventually.
Yeah, so we certainly won't be taking them lightly. They're a high possession team and they showed that on the weekend. And it was obviously quite tight for the first three quarters. So we've got to bring the same intensity that we brought against Richmond, the same tackling pressure and that want to really fight through the contest. So that'll be really important for us this week to start the same way that we did on the weekend.
We'll also be barracking our hearts out for the mighty pair, won't we, to beat the Giants.
The pair, yes, we will be barracking for the pair. Not quite as much as you, Jane.
Dave has spent a lot of the weekend, especially on Sunday. But let's not. We don't have to talk about Port right now. But he spent a lot of time looking at the configurations and the mathematical equations about how to get the Crows into the eight because it's just down to 0.5%.
Yeah, well, for us, we've got to control what we can control. So that's the games that we're playing.
So David wasted that hour of his life.
Probably did. Yeah. Now look,
not
we can't.
For the first time.
We can't worry about you know, if this team wins here and then that'll save us here, we've got to win as many games as we possibly can. So the best way to do that is look no further than your upcoming opponent, prepare as best we can for them, beat them, and then refocus and go again the following week.
How good's Tomo going?
He's not bad for an old fella, is he?
Oh, no. A lot of blokes would be, you know, starting to stay home under the throw rug at his age. But, geez, he's
not that old. Well, he is for a footballer, I suppose he is. But
his season's
been unbelievable for a guy that's, you know, 32, 33, to average 27 possessions a game, have the influence that he's having. It's, you know, a lot of the statistics are almost career-best numbers. So, you know, it's a credit to him. He prepares himself as well as anyone in the competition, if not better.
He'll go around again next year, won't he?
I definitely would have thought so.
You wouldn't want to miss that.
And we'd certainly, you know, from a player's perspective, it's not only what he does game day, but it's his leadership around the club, you know, Monday to Friday as well.
Well, what's your assessment of Scott Camporeale? And the reason I ask you that is because typically in Adelaide, after the win on Friday, everyone or a lot of the media and a lot of people are saying, oh, give him the job. I won't ask you that question, but give us an assessment as to how you feel he's been going.
Yeah, given the circumstances, which everyone is aware of, he's done an unbelievable job. You know, he's been involved in the system for, you know, 20-odd years. So, you know, he has a great understanding of the game and what's required. And I've no doubt it's been an eye-opener for him because, you know, no one can understand what, you know, a senior coach goes through until you sit in that seat. But he's certainly done an incredible job from a player's perspective, and he's got a great game knowledge and game awareness when it comes to match day, and he says the right things at the right times.
Paddy, I just want to congratulate you on becoming an ambassador for The Line, which is a national campaign aimed at encouraging young people to look at attitudes about violence, particularly against women. So that's fantastic you've got on board. Can you just tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, basically, when they approached me through the AFLPA, I sort of sat back at home and had to think about it and did a little bit of a, you know, review myself. And there's some damning statistics out there, and probably the biggest one for me was the number of Australian soldiers killed since 1967 is 65. You know, at war is when you would think
that you're at risk of losing your life.
Exactly right. Yet since 2014, there's been 127 killed by men. So obviously, you know, violence against women. So they're incredibly damning statistics, and that's in a 12-month period. So it's basically changing or looking at people changing their attitudes towards violence against women. And violence against children. So.
And it's focusing on young people like between 12 and 20 when those attitudes are actually forming.
Yeah, exactly right. So certainly I don't condone violence against women, and I don't think it should be accepted in the community at all. And a lot of the time when people, you know, you hear about violence against women, it's, well, how could she stay with him for so long and that sort of thing, but that's the wrong attitude to have. It should never happen in the first place. So, you know, the campaign's just in its infancy at the moment. It's just kicking off, but it's something that I feel really strongly about, and Sean Burgoyne and Marcus Bontempelli are also involved in it, which is terrific.
Job well done. Really good. Glad to see that
good
you're
stuff.
Doing stuff like that. It's great.
On you, Pat, and good luck against the Bombers on the weekend. Keep powering on towards the eight and kick straighter.
Thanks, guys.
You're a good man, Pat, and please don't take this personally, but you've got really weird hair today.
Paddy,
I'm telling Pat that he's got weird hair. That is weird. Hey, Pat, brought to you by, I was going to say, no, I won't say that, but I will say he's brought to you by Balfour's Bakery, available at your local deli or supermarket. Balfour's, baking people happy since 1853.